I was involved in community development work really from pretty much from going to university and graduating in environmental studies, which sounds like totally bizarre and unconnected. But I then sort of went into work which I felt we needed to change hearts and minds to change environmental stuff. So it seemed obvious to work with people rather than just the environment, which is what I started with. So I worked for a local authority and for Groundwork Trust doing environmental education projects, which inevitably involved community development as well. And then it was sort of moving towards more towards people than the environment, I suppose. So I was working up in the valleys initially and then moved to sort of Blackwood, so a closer valley. And then the job was advertised in Newport, and I thought, that really would fit me. And we were a team of, I'm trying to remember, I think 8 of us to begin with, deployed in various parts of Newport, the borough of Newport, as it was then, in areas which were disadvantaged in many ways, but financially disadvantaged, was the sort of criteria for community development workers going in. And it was Dufferin and Maindy and Alloway, and we worked in pairs. So it started off with, I was sort of sent out to Maindy to work, and I was working with a guy called Monis, who was great and really good. We had a really good working relationship, and it was great to work with him because he knew the community really well. We had to look for a place to be based in, and there were a few options, and I started off somewhere else, which I can't remember where it was either, but not for very long. And then realised that I could work from Community House from the initial sort of surveying work, really, that we did to find out about the community, because obviously it was bricks and mortar that we were looking at to begin with. What sort of facilities were available for people? And Community House became the sort of obvious place to be placed because it had very much a history of community development work, so it seemed like the natural place to be. And so that, I think that's sort of why I ended up there.
What were your first thoughts of Maindy when you started?
Well, quite interestingly, I mean, although I'd lived in Newport for many years, I wasn't really that aware of Maindy. It wasn't an area that I knew very well at all. And so it was great in some ways because it felt very new and very different. But I was quite anxious about how I would relate to the community because there was such a high ethnic minority population that I did wonder if I would be able to relate to that community. And so it helped that I was working with Monis. I think that helped actually initially. And I think it was quite exciting because it was so very different working with such a different community, and really new. I hadn't worked with an ethnic minority community at all. I'd had no real exposure to a different community in Newport, so it was really quite exciting, quite fun, and lots to discover. So yeah, it was great.
So, community development, what did you have to do? What did it mean to you? Were you able to shape your role as a community development officer? Were you given particular parameters to work within, or could you decide for yourself what
No,
to
there
do?
were pretty strict parameters to working, really. I mean, there was a degree of flexibility, but there wasn't any money to work with. So anything that we did, really, we depended on funding bids to find the money for. So we didn't have a pocket of money that we could just dip into. There wasn't that. So we were trying to sort of uncover the resources within the community, not just financial resources, but people resources. It was restrained and confined by some of the political side, really, because some of the local councillors weren't that supportive. So there was a lot of work with some of the political people in Maindy that really didn't want things to change very much.
So their ideas were very different to the things that you had in mind?
Some of them, yeah. So, yeah, there was a bit of a job on with some of them, and some were quite... they were placed barriers, really, and our job was to break down barriers, you know. That's the whole point of community development, really, is to try and break down barriers of any kind, I suppose. And there were massive barriers put up by some of the local councillors, which... Yeah, it's just a question of sort of working with it, getting around it. Mm. And I had a really fantastic manager. He was great. He was very hands-off. Martin Hamilton, do you remember? Mm-hmm. Mm. He was a good manager. And, yeah, I was given quite a lot of freedom, really, I suppose.
Good. So you talk about volunteer resources. How did you go about recruiting them?
I think... There were already networks there, so Community House was a really valuable resource to work with because it was already out there in the community to some extent. So we'd got off the starting blocks a little bit, I think, working with Community House. So yeah, it was working with the just working out from the contacts that we already had, and my sort of, I guess as I've already suggested, really was. One of the main priorities was to try and work with women in the locality, women from all backgrounds, but particularly trying to reach young Asian women, which then led into older Asian women and the Asian community generally. So that was sort of the way through, I think. But it was really helpful having those contacts already established, some of them from Community House. And the first sort of job that I had to do was a community audit. So it was about finding out what those resources were and documenting them, and then being able to work to find a way to work with the resources that we had. So yeah, it's interesting stuff.
How long were you there for?
5 years. Yeah.
And within those 5 years, do you think that you achieved what you wanted to do?
Well, you never do you? I think for me, community development is about making yourself redundant, really, because you're trying to build up the capacity of the community to function well on its own without any community development worker. That's the whole point of that sort of capacity building. But inevitably... That doesn't happen, that's the aim, but there's always that input sort of required in some way of someone who's got the freedom, the time, the money, you know, because I was paid to do it, obviously, to be able to make things happen. So ideally, you're trying to make yourself redundant, which I did very successfully, because the project money ran out in 2000. But no, you never achieve everything you want to achieve. There are some things that were real achievements that have a lasting legacy, I think, which is really nice to see, like the festival.
Yes, of course, we'll be talking about that.
So the festival. I think probably one of the things that I was really proud of was Young Citizens, which was... I don't know what happened to that.
Oh, right, yeah. Tell us a bit more about Young Citizens.
I said I was working up in the valleys in Aberdeen, actually, and I was really, really fortunate to be able to work then the community development side of the work that I was doing, because I was doing environmental education, but through community development. And I was working on a big estate in Aberdeen with... the fire service, police service, emergency services, because there was like a big fire problem, people fire setting. That was how it started off in Aberdeen. fire setting was a really big problem up there. So the fire service had put some money and some resources into community development on this estate with a really far-sighted community development worker that I was working with, who set up this project to involve young people in all sorts of challenging community activities, but funded by the fire service. And so I used the model that she'd used, because that, you know, there was only one as far as I know. I used her model to start off Young Citizens in Maindy, which again was a sort of partnership project with the emergency services, education, and, you know, anyone who would offer us some time and someone to come and talk to us, really, and do things with us. So it was for young people from Maindy Primary School in the sort of, I don't know, year five and six, I think, probably. Can't remember the age limit, or if there was an age limit. To come and do stuff, to come and have fun, you know, so to come over once a week, or an event once a week, whereby we could get some education in, I mean, that was the idea. So we had sort of the fire service coming in and doing fun stuff with kids, and police coming in and doing fun stuff with kids. But there was an important sort of mission for education as well. And that was really fun, and I think it worked pretty well. And the spin-off from that was a sort of intergenerational project where we involved young citizens, mainly young citizens, with older people in the community. So, for instance, they would come over and do things with, like the museum, would bring in artifacts. So the young people would get to see, I don't know, things from the war, gas masks and all sorts of things. And the older people would reminisce. So you had this amazing sort of fantastic setting where old people would be talking about stuff that they could talk about and they probably, you know, wouldn't be talking normally. And the young people could relate to the things that were just, you know, just historical artifacts suddenly came to life. So that was a nice sort of, yeah, nice spin-off from Young Citizens. I don't know what happened to Young Citizens, but it was good at the time.
Have anyone from Young Citizens returned and led some other projects from Community House?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. That's the honest answer. They may well have done. Yeah, I don't know. But hopefully it had some sort of impact on lots of people.
Community House's ethos is building a caring community. What role does Community House has played within community development?
Well, as I said, historically, it was already doing some of the work which we sort of sat on the back of, really, because it was already out there doing that sort of, it's weird to call it missionary work, and it's not sort of a word I would ever choose normally, but just out there doing stuff. You know, they were aware of, certainly aware of the resources in the community and the connections. So it was quite helpful to have that. It was also, I had to be very aware that it could be slightly restrictive, and I had to be, so I think, I hope I was aware that that was maybe one view, and so it was important to make sure that I heard other views as well and worked from other areas. And Monis worked in Somerton for a while. So, yeah, well, that it was great to start with, but with an awareness that it was one view sort of thing. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Do you think because the people that were coming and using the building were of a particular culture, is that what you mean in restrictive?
No, I sort of didn't mean it was restrictive. I didn't mean restrictive. It was that there were other people out there doing stuff that maybe hadn't touched Community House, or Community House hadn't touched. So it was just sort of being aware that I had to do that outreach work myself, not just use what Community House had as a resource, if you see what I mean.
Yes. Can you tell me about Maindy Festival? How did that come about?
Well, one of the things, as I said, this was sort of community audit included ideas from the community about how how it would change. So, I mean, hopefully it was a grassroots movement. So I would hear what people wanted, and hopefully I could take that bit back to the people who could make things happen, if you see what I mean. However, there is an element of informed choice, for want of a better word. So, which is very true. I mean, people don't necessarily have the choices if they're not aware of what the choices are. So there was a certain amount of being given a menu of things that could be a starter for ideas. And because I'd done quite a lot of work in communities in the valleys, I knew how important arts were, the arts generally are, and particularly music, I think, in bringing communities together and exposing people to new ideas. So the idea of a festival was sort of floated, and people seemed to respond really well to that, and I had the resources there. In terms of, there were some people who were obviously a fantastic resource in terms of arts development, including Andy O'Rourke and Sally at the time, who came to live in a house that belonged to Community House. And that was quite an effort to get them in there, but that's another story. So I knew that we had some fantastic resources within the community that we could call on. And Andy and Sally were one of those sort of community resources. So that's, I think, how the idea started. And we had them, at the time we had the Main Do Forum, which was a monthly meeting for people from the community to attend and come up with ideas or problems that needed solving. It was a sort of solution focused.
Can you think back to what year that might have been?
Well, it must have been pretty much from the beginning. So it would have been the community audit and all that sort of information finding will have gone on for the first year. So I would imagine that would about been about 96. Okay. And that's when the newsletter would have probably started as well. So that we were reaching out with Mandy Letterbox, the newsletter, to let people know what was going on and to invite them into the forum, which generally took place in Community House, the forum meetings. And it was then that we sort of floated the idea of the festival and got it going. I think the first festival was 97, I think. I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah.
That must have been quite a daunting prospect to arrange something like that. Had you ever had any experience prior to that of organising a festival?
Well, as I say, not anything on quite that scale, although it was very small scale to start with. I'd done things like organising sort of festival parades, for instance, in some of the estates that I'd worked in, with samba bands, and generally sort of using the arts as a catalyst for bringing people together. So a little bit. But the whole point was that I wasn't really doing too much of the work. I was hoping that I would be just overseeing it to some extent and facilitating it, but that other people were doing the work, yes. Which they did, yeah. You know, I mean, they That's really brilliant.
Did you have any idea when you first started that it would turn into the huge success that it started?
Absolutely none. And I mean, it is just amazing because it still totally depends on people doing the work, and they are out there doing it to a huge extent. I mean, people put in so much time to the festival. It's incredible. And people have gone on to develop their own careers from it. It's just been, brilliant. You know, lovely to sort of see that little baby tuddle away and grow up. And yeah, amazing over that 20 years. But yeah, the idea wasn't that I did all the work because, you know, I'm not that keen on working. Everyone else seemed to get really motivated. And obviously it was what people wanted because it seemed to take off. And there were lots of things sort of around that. So the first thing we did was a fashion show, I think. And, oh, my goodness, I mean, that first fashion show we had, so Amy was, my daughter was one of the models, and I think her, yeah, her cousin was a model as well, and lots of the girls from Mandy Girls Club modelled. We got sort of sponsored by various Asian clothes suppliers and whatnot, and did this, I mean, this fashion show was incredible. It was a really hot summer evening, and you could hardly breathe in there. You couldn't move for girls, really. Girls in the fashion show, and boys like trying to look through the windows and the doors and being kept out. And so it was just, it was fantastic. That was just a brilliant sort of starter, really, and just showed how enthusiastic people could be and how much, you know, they wanted to do something, they wanted to have fun. You know, so it was a lovely start. And we had sort of evenings, sort of bring and share evenings of food from different cultures. And
that still happens.
Yeah, that still happens. Yeah. Great, you know. So that's, and I think that had probably happened before as well. I don't think that was, that was probably not anything hugely new, but it sort of got bigger. Yeah, so that's the start of it, really. Yes, yes, good to be still involved after 20 years going back and seeing how it's developed.
Tell us a bit more about the kind of work that you're doing at the moment.
Well, I'm not work, I don't work with large groups of people generally anymore. So I'm a counsellor, and specifically a counsellor for children and young people. Worked in schools for years and years once I moved up here, and in mediation. So that was sort of my background when I worked, started working up here, and then moved into counselling. And I'm trying to bring two sides of my life together at the moment. So the sort of counselling side and the environmental side, and sort of do sort of ecotherapy type approach. And one of the things that I'm quite excited about at the moment is I've also kept on the go, again, since working in Mandy, where we did a parenting programme, the Noughts to Sixties Family Caring Trust programme, who is still going, and absolutely brilliant, I must say, and still incredibly supportive and generous Family Caring Trust. So I'm trying to develop a parenting programme which includes an ecological, environmental aspect. So to work on sort of attachment and connection, because I specifically work with parents of teenagers, and that connection is something that can be lost so easily with teenagers, into a sort of a new course, which is hopefully a bit innovative and a bit different. But it's always difficult doing any sort of parenting work, because in terms of developing a program, because the programs that are used are so massive and so funded in terms of being, they have, you know, they're sort of assessed, but that costs an awful lot of money to get them assessed, and it's quite hard to do something small. But luckily I found somewhere who's prepared to sort of go with it, so that's quite exciting.
That's great. Thank you very much, Sue, for your time.